This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
Oh yeah, Little Fats Domino. He might be walking to New Orleans right now, but I'll tell you what, Louisiana's getting hit. Probably not too much traffic out there. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, my partner in crime, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us here on this Friday morning already. Wow, March the 27th. This month is flying through. I wish the virus would fly through a little bit as fast. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Kurt Mills, by the way, of the American Conservative Magazine, and we're going to talk about this stimulus bill that has been created to counter the coronavirus. And it's right now being bandied about in Congress, as you may know. So we're going to talk with him a little bit about, is it a good bill? Too much pork? Will it be effective? All those kinds of things. Stay tuned for that. And the U.S. now officially has more coronavirus cases than China? Can that really be true? Really? We're going to get some thoughts about it from the proprietor of Mainstream America's most important poll, the Barber Poll, along with his feelings on how Trump has been doing recently and the country. How's the country getting along? How are we faring through all of this? And we're also going to talk about the inevitable cabin fever effects of this pandemic. We're all affected, are we not? And maybe some things that we can do to deal with it. And we're going to get away from the whole virus thought in our top 10. Top 10 vehicles that disappeared in 2019. Wait till you, it kind of got lost in the shuffle. So top 10, stay tuned for that. By the way, we're sponsored in part by America's and certainly Tampa Bay's best barbershop, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And you guys, the best haircut, look, the hair doesn't stop growing. Virus or no virus, pandemic or no pandemic, your hair keeps growing, your toenails keep growing, you keep growing, some of us. But we got to deal with it. And Andrew's got the best haircutting place in Tampa Bay. He's in Dunedin. He's on Overcash Drive. It is just north of State Road 580 in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive. Open Tuesday through Saturday. So get over there, guys. Yeah, he's still open. We'll talk to him today. Make sure he is for the coming week. And by the way, he's a great guy, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And if you can't hear us live, why don't you go and listen to us through our podcast? Big Ed has all of our podcasts set up. You can listen to any show. Go back and hear us for, 2 weeks ago if you want. But it's always on there, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so, it's all coronavirus all the time, is it not? There are other things that are going on in the world. I'm looking here, Ed, the stock market, unfortunately, is down about 760 points right now. So we had it going up. You keep hoping it's going to keep going up, but apparently, reality starts to set in. We got so many people that are unemployed. And inevitably, that means that the stock market is not going to keep floating, no matter how much money we start pouring in. So,
wasn't it up 3 days in a row or something?
Yeah, it was up 3 days. As a matter of fact, we have a story about it here. if I didn't have it right in front of me. But it has been, here it is, stock surge for the third straight day yesterday. Investors shrugged off the release of record-breaking initial jobless claims while the Senate finally passed the economic stimulus bill. That's mainly it, the stimulus bill. So the Dow jumped about 1,350 points yesterday. So, you know, we've gone above the 20,000. I don't know. You know, that's that psychological number, right? The 20,000 mark on the Dow. We're at 21,780 about right now. But we were at about 22. So it's going the wrong way right now. One of the reasons might be that there is a guy in Kentucky that may stomp on the stimulus package by requiring that the House members have to come in physically to the chamber.
That's ridiculous.
And you got 435 members. So try to figure out how you're going to do that with the coronavirus, and you don't want people packed in anywhere.
What's he afraid of?
He doesn't seem to think that it's a good idea for the federal government to be spending all of this money. I should not be going into his head. I do not know exactly why he has said that. But we're going to talk about him a little later in the show. He does seem to be one guy they're worried about. Now, everybody in the whole Congress, both the Senate and the House, are going to throw arrows at this guy if he tries to do that. Because the Senate passed this thing, I think it was 96 to nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody voted against it. So here's the deal, though. Inevitably, even with this being such an important piece of legislation to concentrate on this virus, you still have these people throwing money for the National Public Radio into that thing. They performing, whatever that Performing Arts Center is in New York, they tossed money in there for that. What, you know, this is the kind of nonsense that makes people so cynical about politicians. They can't even when people are, we're trying to save lives and we're trying to pass this thing to keep people eating, you know, being able to go to the grocery store, basically, that's it, aren't we? That's the whole purpose of giving them the money.
Were you talking about the Kennedy Center they were trying to throw the money into?
Yeah, thank you, the Kennedy Center. Yeah. What? The Kennedy Center? You got to throw money in there for National Public Radio? Why? Why? How did the media get dibs on this money? No. So, I mean, that's where we are right now. I guess politics, you cannot squeeze politics out of anything. It's always going to be there. Always going to be there. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this package and really find out whether or not from Kurt Mills of the American Conservative Magazine, whether or not this is really something that's going to help us.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place is
I Like It Like That.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're back here on a Friday morning. Freedom Works, we thank you so very much for being with us. I hope you're keeping your distance, you're staying safe, not having too much cabin fever. You know, we're all going through this together, and we're going to get through it. And we're delighted to have Kurt Mills. He is a senior writer at the American Conservative. He covers national security. He covers the Trump presidency. He's covering the 2020 campaign, which is going to be very interesting considering all that's going on right now. And he's joined us to talk a little bit about this stimulus package, which is hovering, I guess, Kurt, over in the House right now. I haven't seen the latest on the news, but thanks so very much for coming on. First of all, I'd like to ask you, is this package... And you're a conservative, of course. Is this package going to really help us or hurt us in the long run, in your opinion?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're safe and sound, everybody.
So far, so good, my friend.
I think the package is fine. It's like a little bit like, the patient has a drug habit and she has a heart attack and, while it would be very good if the patient wasn't addicted to heroin, now's not the time to quibble with that if she's bleeding out on the table.
Right.
So no one's seen anything like this. So just to give your viewers or your listeners rather perspective, at the nadir of the Great Recession, U.S. growth rates per quarter were like minus 4% at the absolute apex. And the projections coming out of the investment banks and out of the government are that it could be minus 10 or 20%. It depends on part of the country you're in, but in the major cities in this country, California, New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, et cetera, business is ground to a halt. And if you don't work for one of these major corporations that have 500 or more employees, you likely don't work for someone who has cash reserves or is being directly bailed out, like the airlines or Boeing. If you believe the Treasury Secretary, and I don't think he has any reason to lie about this, basically half the employment of people who work for firms of under 500 people is threatened by the shutdown and the coronavirus reaction. So it's pretty harrowing stuff. You can pick at it as you want. We shouldn't bail anybody out. Maybe more of the checks should have gone to individuals and families and not to corporations. But I think in sum, they kind of took a slash-dash stab at this. And I don't know. I mean, it's $21 trillion in debt to $26 trillion in debt. It's like at this current juncture, this does not seem exactly the moment for reform. Of course, the critical position would be when is the moment for reform. But, I think the government clearly was staring at the abyss of what they thought was a second Great Depression. And we're not out of the woods yet, but it's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, there's the there is a mode of thought that maybe the federal government indeed should not be involved in this directly, but let the 50 state governors to handle it as best they can, because what's good for Wyoming is not necessarily good for New Jersey.
Right.
And if each of those governors took a look at what was going on in their state, how it was being handled with the virus situation. Maybe they could come up with their legislature with some sort of a plan. They could dole out money from there. Your thought on whether or not that might be a better route than having a centralized approach to this?
Well, I mean, I'm all in favor of that, and I think, I mean, you know, in some ways, the crisis has shown the resilience and competence of local governments to handle the crisis better than, in some cases, the feds. But on the other hand, you know, stuff like air travel is not something that is so receptive to a state and local solution. You know, you don't want there to be checkpoints between Nevada and Wyoming and North Dakota and South Dakota. And, you know, these airlines, look, I'm not as I'm as skeptical of the U.S. airlines as anyone. I'm sure we've all come accustomed to the declining quality of air travel. But the fact is, these are, you know, fairly low margin businesses. And a lot of these jets are made by places like Boeing. And if all of a sudden, you know, they have an 80% slash in customer base, it appears their financial position was extremely precarious. And, you know, the skeptic would say, let these guys go bankrupt and let somebody else buy the airplanes and try to do a better stab at it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the coronavirus thing could be, you know, done by July or August, and we're all going to want air travel again. So I think it's pretty complicated. You know, I think the time is well come for a long discussion about how we spend money in this country and the debt, but I'm not particularly sure this is the juncture to raise it most acutely.
Right. Okay, so what you're saying is the federal government needs to be involved in this because we got to kind of bail out the businesses at this point. You wrote a piece a few days ago, Machiavellian Mitch McConnell makes his mark. Tell me, what was the point of that? What do you think of Mitch McConnell in all of this?
I think Mitch McConnell gets what Mitch McConnell wants, which was kind of the point of the piece.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, I don't... I think there's tons of stuff in his record that you can quibble with, but I mean, if you want to get something done in the Senate, I mean, I guess let's rewind the tape here. Donald Trump has been able to basically countermand and override almost every significant figure in the Republican establishment, whether it be the Bush family, whether it be Mitt Romney, whether it be Speaker Paul Ryan. And look, Trump and McConnell are not friends. You know, you could make the argument, I think, pretty clearly that of anyone in the Republican establishment, Trump feels that he needs Mitch McConnell more than pretty much anyone.
Right.
He's gone through the chiefs of staff, secretaries of state he doesn't like, et cetera, et cetera. But he hasn't quite crossed Mitch McConnell and vice versa. And, you know, I think they view each other as necessary evil. Usually.
Sure. And I mean, Mitch McConnell is the most important guy in the Senate, no doubt about it. You know, he's kind of laid back in the bushes. Yep. Has he not in all of this? He doesn't come out and say too much. When he does, you want to listen to what he has to say. But is he pulling all the strings over there?
Yeah, I mean, so he doesn't quite have, like, you know, the personality cult that Nancy Pelosi seems to have developed for herself. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, I mean, this is the most powerful Senate majority leader since at least Dole in the 90s, if not a lot longer than that. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the all-time powerful senators. Now, I mean, if you don't like what he's been doing, that's completely fair and legitimate line of criticism. But in terms of, like, you know, I have policy A and I want to get policy A done by B time, guy kind of delivers.
Yeah. We're talking with Kurt Mills. He's a senior writer at the American Conservative. Great piece of magazine covering national security, the Trump presidency, the 2020 upcoming presidential campaign. What do you think about Joe Biden? I mean, every once in a while he pops his head out, says a couple of things, and then he disappears. And I guess we haven't heard too much from Bernie, but he's out there, and I'm not so sure he's excited about this package. What do you think about those two guys?
Nah. I mean, I think Bernie is running in order to, Bernie is staying in the race, I should say, in order to sort of tease out and intimidate concessions for his agenda for the Democratic establishment. But the idea of him winning the race short of some insane fluke with Biden, I think is extremely unlikely. I think Biden is the presumptive nominee, and we're going to see what he does. I mean, he's getting a lot of bad press because he is delivering a fairly somnolent performance in this coronavirus chaos, you know, crisis. He's just not he's not appearing very much. It doesn't seem like he can compete with the wattage that's emanating from the White House. That all being said, I think, you know, I think it's incumbent on everyone not to underestimate Joe Biden, and I think he was underestimated in the Democratic primary, and I think he remains a wily competitor for Trump in the general. The fact of the matter is that, you know, look, the guy's got a patchwork record, or a patchy record, I should say, and there's all kinds of things you can attack him for, but, you know, Americans seem to like him more than Hillary Clinton, and so this is a tougher contest than Trump had in 2016. Granted, Trump has the incumbency on his side now. He's way more established than he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, Americans kind of look at Joe Biden and, you know, the middle-class politician kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some corruption there, but it's not nearly on the scale of the Clintons, and I think that's basically right. So the Trump campaign should underestimate him.
Now, Andrew Cuomo, a lot of people, have you heard this thing about maybe Cuomo may take? Andrew Cuomo's getting more FaceTime on media than Trump, I think, these days. It seems like, anyway. And you know, he's becoming a little bit of a force. Is there any chance they go to that convention, wherever it's going to be held, the Democrats, and they cast Biden aside and put Cuomo up there?
I think the convention is being held in Milwaukee.
It was. It is still. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's in July. Assuming it's not indeed. Assuming it's not canceled.
That's what I'm saying. You never know anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you don't.
So they go to convention wherever it is. If I serve for
whatever it is, wherever it is.
Yeah.
By webcam. Yeah.
Yeah, so any chance Cuomo, you know, bumps off Biden and somehow, I don't even know if Cuomo would want the job, but you know what I mean.
Oh, he definitely wants the job. I mean, he's Andrew Cuomo's from a political family. People might not remember, you know, Mario Cuomo.
Yeah,
His father was the governor of New York.
Sure.
He had the 1984, you know, Two America speech, whatever. You know, kind of contrasting with Reagan's Morning in America. Of course, it didn't really matter because Reagan won 49 states and no one remembered Mario Cuomo. And I don't think he ever ran, or if he did run, it was scuttled very early. Look, I mean, Cuomo has been looking at the run for president since 2012. I remember he was sniffing around at the 2012 Democratic Convention. People thought he was going to be a major candidate. Of course, Hillary basically cleared the field 4 years later, and he didn't enter in 2020. And I don't think he entered in 2020 for a good reason. He was pretty scandal-ridden, and he's not horrendously popular in New York. That being said, I mean, you can't rule anything out anymore. I mean, Biden is not doing the best job of fending off this kind of speculation. But I mean, if I can kind of give your listeners a little bit of an, you know, inside baseball here, I'm a skeptic of this. I just think the idea that after this long Democratic primary, 16, 17 candidates, Biden beat all those candidates, the idea that they would just swap him for this guy who does well on press conferences for an issue we might not even be talking about come 4 months from now, I think seems unlikely.
Right.
I think he's pretty unvetted. You never know. The counterpoint here would be, Mike Pence looked at running for president in 2016 and didn't run because of a scandal, and then he ended up on the ticket almost because he didn't run. So, you know, you never know. But yeah. I think that the base case scenario is going to hold. Biden's going to be the nominee.
It looks like Trump's approval numbers are going up, and they seem to be happy. 60-some percent of the people happy with his job performance on the virus. So despite what the media might be trying to do to Trump, it looks like he might be winning.
I think two things. The White House should take extreme heart at that result right now, but also be very careful. I mean, if we go into 30% unemployment and, you know, a million people die, you know, I think his numbers could really flag off by August. That being said, I mean, I think the package is going to potentially arrest the worst case economic scenarios. And, you know, I think the virus is very serious, but I think, you know, the 1 to 2 million projections that we are hearing are coming under increasing scrutiny and seem less likely than they did even 7 to 10 days ago or a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I and then additionally, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you could say it's a very cynical interpretation. You know, this is hitting blue states a lot harder, and so you know, this isn't necessarily going to put a dent in Trump's approval rating there. I think you know, the address that he gave from the Resolute desk, which is unusual. Both Trump and Obama have not given that many Oval Office addresses, right? You know, Bush was kind of the master of that. Like, he would appear behind the desk and kind of solemnly, you know, speak to the country. Obama and Trump actually have shied away from the Oval Office address. But Trump gave an Oval Office address when this crisis first broke out. And I think it was pretty bad. But ever since then, he's basically recovered to flourish. He seems to be fairly confident. He's even kind of making jokes during some of this stuff, which, of course, a lot of the media doesn't like, but I think actually kind of lends a little levity to what's otherwise a pretty somber.
It takes a little air out of the balloon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, assuming he got hit by the on the Romney thing, but I thought the Romney thing was pretty funny. You know, listeners aren't familiar, they, you know, one of the reporters talked about Romney, and, you know, Trump goes, "Oh, so Romney's self-quarantining? That means we're not going to hear from Romney for a while." Well, too bad.
Yes.
So I think, you know, like, your average CBS reporter, you know, thinks that's a war.
Well, he's good with the give and take. You know,
but I think the average American thinks it's funny. Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Trump's in his element when he has a give and take going on, right? I mean, when he's talking with the press, no matter what. I think he tends to win the argument because people go, yeah, you know, they give it to him, you know. So he's good with give and take. He likes to have feedback right away. When he sits solemnly behind a desk in the Oval Office, I'm not sure that's his best venue.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not good at prepared speeches. Not, you know.
Yeah. Kind of dry.
That's not the kind of, you know, baseball player he is. It's just, he looks like he's in a straitjacket when somebody's got a script for him.
He does a little bit. Yeah.
But like when he can just, he's really extemporaneous. If he can just riff, he can riff for the best.
All right. Kurt, thank you so very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. I hope we can talk again down the road, and good luck to you.
Thanks. Likewise.
All right. Kurt Mills, the American Conservative. We're going to take our break when we come back. When we come back, we'll have the proprietor of the Mainstream America's most important poll, the Barber poll. We're going to talk to him about the stimulus package. Are these numbers true about the U.S. having more cases than China? We'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning, still healthy, still here. By the way, the United States apparently overtook China and Italy in confirmed coronavirus cases, with over 82,000 in all. Now, I know that, you know, the numbers are going up, but China, I'm not so sure about that one. We got the proprietor of the most important poll in America, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, with us. Andrew, do you buy into the fact that we got more virus cases here than in China?
Paul, first of all, we can't go by nothing China says, okay?
Okay.
They've been feeding us bull crap for how many years, and they're still feeding us bull crap. You pay attention to them, you got to be a dummy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, not for nothing. What is it, 344 million people in this country?
320 million, probably.
320 million, okay? 86,012 have got the virus. 1,301 have died. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go to Las Vegas with those odds with a ton of cash.
Yeah,
because
those odds,
Paul, it's ridiculous.
To survive,
here.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Okay, now they're saying we took over Italy. Well, you know, Italy's got, what, 63 million people?
About that,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're what, six times bigger?
Italy has just been decimated. Italy's been
decimated.
That's
their own fault, Paul. Italy sold their clothing industry to China a few years back. You know, you get those expensive suits that say made in Italy and they're supposed to be beautiful and everything else.
Well, they're made in China.
They were importing 1,000 workers from Hunan, China, wherever that is, where the virus is coming from.
The Wuhan province, yeah.
Yeah, they were importing them like 1,000 a month to work in their clothing industry and rotating them. Bringing them back and forth, okay? I mean, what did they expect is going to happen?
Not just Italy, all of a sudden Spain. Why Spain?
Paul, they're all selling their souls. They're all selling. I won't buy an Italian suit no more. I may as well buy one for a third of the price. It's just made in China. You got the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
been tough.
Paul.
It's been
totally ridiculous.
So,
now, you got what, 7.5 billion people in the world?
I don't know the
something
total
like
number. There's 2.5 billion in China and maybe 5 billion. Yeah, you may be right.
Okay, somewhere around there. And they got 24,906 deaths throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you like to have those odds going to Las Vegas with a pocket full of money?
Well, but of course those numbers are going up, and then there's
well,
all of this.
Of course they're going to go up. There's more tests, Paul.
Yeah.
But it's got, what is it, a 96% survival rate, 96.7 survival rate?
Yes, so far, but again, those numbers, you know, it's so hard to actually calculate the truth. Let's be honest. We don't know how many people are really dying in China. We don't. We don't know how many people are dying in North Korea.
We probably don't know how many people are dying in Russia.
Go ahead.
You know what the sad part about this is, Paul?
What?
It's the only news there is. We could get attacked by aliens right now, and it wouldn't matter because we're talking about the coronavirus.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
I think it's a bunch of baloney. You know, they've got us in lockdown. I'm sitting here grinding on my pool. I could be at my shop. It's a lot easier there than here.
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to ask you about this. Has it forced you to close your barbershop now?
Well, yeah, because they're saying you got to be 6 feet away from people, you know. How am I going to do that? I got to attach a clipper to a broom handle?
No, you can't. But don't they make an exception? What are they going to look? You go to the grocery store like Publix. I know they're going to put the plexiglass in, but right now
we're all going to pay for that. You know, we're all going to pay for that.
But I mean, there are certain businesses where you can't help but stand close to people, and one of them is in a grocery store.
And then, apparently they say it's not essential to get a haircut.
Yeah, but your hair doesn't stop growing. I can't tell my hair to stop growing because we got a virus, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I think that's not. So they made you Dunedin, the city made you.
The Pinellas County.
The county did.
Yeah, Pinellas County.
Okay.
Basically. And you know what? That's okay with me. I need a little break. But
true.
Yeah. What's going on, Paul? We're not hearing anything is going on with Syria. We don't hear nothing with the Biden and the Ukraine. Okay, the only thing we're hearing about now is Andrew Cuomo standing in front of a bunch of masks telling you how good New York is being handled.
Now, I did want to... We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, by the way. And when he opens up again, I guarantee you, he'll still be the best barber in Tampa Bay. But I want to ask you about how is Donald Trump performing? It seems
like 60% of the people think he's doing great.
His numbers are going up, aren't they?
Of course they are.
You know, he's so good. He is. I think he's the kind of guy. I mean, it was like FDR, although neither one of us were around for it, was made people feel comfortable during the war and especially during the Depression. He did fireside chats during the Depression.
Donald Trump is the people's president, Paul. He talks to the people. He relates to the people. The gentleman you had on talking earlier,
right,
before I came on, I was listening to him. Well, this could happen. If he's an American conservative, I must be an American radical conservative. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, this guy, I think he's way off. I think he's way off.
Well, he tended to like what Trump was doing. I did not hear him say bad things about Donald Trump.
No, he was ifing this and ifing that and maybe this. Listen, the guy's the people's president, face to face. There's no answer for buts. Now, look at, they got the women, the Democrat women must be coming out of the woodwork to go against Biden because now they're saying how he's groped them all and people are coming up.
Oh, is there a new case about that? I did not see that.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Oh,
they came out yesterday.
Really?
But, of course. This is the Democrats trying to get rid of him because, you know, they're impressed with Andrew Cuomo. He's got dark hair.
We talked about that with Kurt Mills, whether or not Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, and of course he has higher aspirations. He certainly would be interested maybe in being president, but they're not going to bump Biden for this guy right now, are they?
Oh, they're setting up the women to get rid of him because they know he's making a fool of himself.
Oh, I see
everything
your point.
He's doing.
So it's the Democratic Party that's getting these women to come out so that they can... Oh, now I get it.
These women were the same club that went after the Kavanaugh, you know, when he was there.
There is some truth to the fact that Joe is a touchy-feely kind of a guy. Right now, he can't be touchy-feely. He's got to be 6-7 feet away from the from the nearest woman. So he's very frustrated.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
No,
Every time the guy opens his mouth, he's making a fool of himself. I can't believe he got as far as he did.
Did you know that he's a professor now, too? Remember, he said something about, and when I left the vice presidency,
listen,
he was a professor. Where were you professing?
You take away the teleprompter from him, he sounds like Porky Pig. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, did you catch that one, Paul? I've caught this guy. You know, I watch this stuff inside and out. I eat, sleep, and drink it. Some people like politics, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And some people like football. I'm one of these people that like politics. And I play the game every day. You know that.
I know you
and
do.
It,
I know.
Like I say,
and you play it well.
The Democrats are setting up Biden because all of a sudden they think they got a rising star in Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
Every time the Democrats turn around, they got a rising star.
Yeah.
Paul, Trump is handling everything perfectly. We're going to come out of this. You know, my old man used to have a saying. I can't say it the way he does, but he used to say certain people could fall into a barrel of crap and come out smelling like a rose.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is Donald Trump.
How many times
have Donald Trump fell into the barrel of crap?
Yeah.
Okay, and he comes out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, he comes dancing out.
The same thing with this, Paul.
Well, he does seem to put, as I said, the connection to FDR because everybody looked towards him during the Depression. It was a different kind of a crisis, certainly, but it was a crisis nonetheless. And they didn't know when it was going to end. They didn't know how it was going to end, right? Then along comes World War II. They really had to have a grip on FDR then. They had the Depression and World War II to worry about. I mean,
and look at how the people came together there. That's too bad this generation we got out here in the world today isn't exactly the same as the World War II generation. Yesterday, listen to this one. I almost had heart failures. You know, I got a daughter who lives in Miami.
Uh-huh.
With her $200,000 education. She's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to call her yesterday to see how she was. And do you know what she actually said to me?
What did she say?
He says, you know, Dad, the Chinese know how to handle crises like this.
Uh-oh.
Look at how they put everybody in lockdown. They shut everything down and told people just what they had to do. And they had to listen. Otherwise, they threw them in jail. Now, that's how we're supposed to handle things. And I just sat there and shook my head. I said, I cannot believe you are my daughter. I had to hang up.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm your own daughter?
You've got no choice, Paul.
Oh.
It's either that or I'm going to start screaming at
you. Oh, boy.
Okay, I mean, who do these people, my own daughter, believing in communism?
Well, it does seem like the media, first of all, they get upset when Trump calls the COVID a Chinese virus, which it started in. So he's perfectly legitimate.
I call it Chinese cooties.
Yeah, and it started there, and the media got on him about that for some crazy reason.
Well, you know, they got a name for everything. German sausage, Italian sausage, Polish sausage, swine flu. What the hell's the difference? It came from China. This politically correct stuff, you could hang it up, Paul.
Oh, I know. I think they're finally past that. But, you know, to say that China is somehow going to come to the rescue, but you do get some of that perspective, you know. Well, look what China is doing right now. Well, yeah, but look what they did. I mean, they and then they claim to, I mean, it's like the guy that, you know, kills somebody and then goes over and says, you know, I'm going to try to his spouse and says, I'm gonna take care of you for the rest of your life. I mean, what? Well, you're the one that caused the trouble to begin with.
Chinese dog food killed dogs. Chinese drywall poisoned people. Okay? What other things did they came around with? Certain foods that had some kind of viruses in it. Everything they touch, Paul, turns to crap. And we've been forced to buy their crap for years. I mean, this all started back when Clinton signed his NAFTA treaty. You remember that. Actually, it was Nixon that made friends with China. Let's be real.
Well, he did. He helped open up our connection with China back in the 60s. You're right.
That was 70s. A big mistake. 60s. It was a big mistake, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, we need to keep our distance away from China. They have done nothing. They have done nothing to benefit the United States whatsoever. They sucked all the money out of this country. They've been killing people. They've been killing dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're still killing people. So, we need to totally distance ourselves from them. We need to be self-sufficient again. You want to share it with the world a little bit, that's fine. But we need to be self-sufficient, not dependent on other people in other countries.
And finally, Donald Trump has been saying he wants to get people back out and businesses up and running again as quickly as possible. He had used a date, and he didn't say it was locked in stone, of Easter. I'm hoping, I'm wishing, that's right.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got it. It's the deadline now. He said it's going to be done by then.
So do you think there's any possibility right now, or do you think it's going to be? I mean, here we are in Pinellas County.
With the numbers that we got, if we keep letting our economy fall for these numbers, we're stupid. Look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie.
So maybe not a total lockdown with businesses, et cetera.
Right. You know, something's going to clear out the population. I understand nobody dying is any good, but let's be real. The flu happens every year.
Well,
it kills off the population.
It clears off the population. Well, you don't mean like clearing out dead brush or
anything. No, you understand what I'm saying.
I kind of do. When people say something like, well, there's going to be like some of the older people aren't going to make it, blah, 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 we can't.
That's right.
Do you have that philosophy that we can, you know, we need to
exactly.
We need to balance?
This is life.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
I'm not.
We're all going to die, and we're not going to take our money with us. Remember that.
I guess you're right.
You know, and this is nothing but a
big we're going to come out of this, Andrew, right? We're going to get out of this.
Okay, listen.
Yep.
We keep doing what we're doing. Let the American people stay strong and believe that we're at war, and we're going to win this war.
I think you're
okay?
right.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we're going to come out stronger than we ever were. I think the young people are getting a quick lesson in socialism. I hope my daughter sure as hell learns. And eventually she will, because I'm going to have to cut her off from the bank from Teresa. And then she'll learn a little bit more. But, enough is enough of this. Yeah. I think you're going to see more products manufactured in the United States, which is going to increase our employment. That's got to happen, Paul.
Yeah. Well, kind of like 9/11. After the thing was over, we were never quite the same. And for many things, it was a positive thing. So hopefully we're going to get some positives. But it's always a pleasure talking with you, as you know, Andrew. And you stay safe, my friend. I want to, you know, I've got to get over to get a haircut pretty soon, and you're closed. And I'm going to wait for you to open up again. And certainly
we'll get there, Paul.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Talk to you on Tuesday.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. He's going to take a little break himself. You know what? He could use the break. You know, he's had some surgery, et cetera. But he's the best barber in Tampa Bay. Okay, going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the cars that you'll never see again that we lost in 2019.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Freedom Works on the Tantalk Radio Network. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We're delighted to be with you. And, you know, we're all getting a little cabin fever, are we not, with this thing going on? And those that live alone... Those that live alone have a special challenge right now because of all of that. Psychologists talk on, you know, what people should be doing right now. It says, the risks of loneliness compounded by the fact that we are all threatened by a virus that we have no control over, except through social distancing and, you know, hygiene. And we don't see any end in this thing right now. We feel helpless. Many of us feel a little bit hopeless. Certainly, there's going to be room for depression on all of this. And so what are some of the things you can do to maintain your overall mental health while this is going on? Well, one of the things they say is not to change your routine as much as possible. Continue to do the things that you normally would do. Get up at the same time. Don't change that. You know, eat breakfast or your meals about the same time. Do whatever you normally do. If you do any kind of an exercise at a certain point and you did it amongst people, continue to do the exercise, but do it maybe on your own, right? So they're saying, you know, try to keep things as usual as possible. And know that you're going to eventually, we're going to get out of this as a group, you know. But, you know, it's true. I think about the people that, you know, it's tough enough for them when things are good. And then all of a sudden something like this happens. So we kind of have to keep that in mind. All right. It is time for our top 10. And, Ed, this is something, these are the cars and the vehicles. Not just cars, but the top 10 vehicles that disappeared last year. And maybe a lot of people don't even know they're no longer around. But we went to Kelley Blue Book to do this. And I found it kind of interesting. I mean, as far as the top 10, it's just, you know, I mean, we could throw them in any order we want, but we did it in a certain way. So let's go with it. So here we go. Top 10 vehicles that disappeared last year. Number 10, the Ford Fiesta. Remember that car?
Yep.
The Fiesta? That was around for a while, wasn't it? It was kind of a low-cost, compact, subcompact. All right, number nine. The Chevrolet Cruze.
Heard of it. Yeah.
You remember that? The Cruze? That
so
left
many
us
of, so
2019,
many of
yeah. Number eight. The Buick Cascada. Now, the Buick itself, just don't see as many Buicks anymore. Mm. But I always thought that the Buick, years ago, was like one step down from a Cadillac. You know, the Buicks were typically in that GM chain of classy cars. All right, number seven. The Volkswagen Golf Sport Wagon. Sounds like it was one of the bigger VWs that they made. That's no longer here. Number six. The Lincoln MKT. Now, that was like Lincoln was Ford's version of the Cadillac, the Lincoln. And the Lincoln MKT took a dive. Number five. Speaking of Cadillac, the Cadillac ATS Coupe. You know, it seems like Cadillac started trying to compete in the non-classy area, did it not? I mean, they kept the name, but you could get a Cadillac for a lot less comparatively than it used to be in terms of the other cars. Anyway, number four. Oh, whatever happened to this little car? The Chevy Volt. You know, the electric car, the Volt. That was going to be the everyman's electric car. Ain't going to be every man's electric car anymore. All right, number three. And I always kind of liked this car, the Ford Taurus. You know? There was a lot of those going around. I mean, people were buying that car. I wonder what happened to it. Okay, number two. And I don't know what this car looked like, Ed. The Cadillac CTS. Have you heard of the CTS, the Cadillac CTS?
CTS. I don't know if that was almost like the smaller Escalade or something, maybe. Something like that.
All right, Ed.
Of course, the Escalade is tricked out. I mean, that's, what, a $60,000, $75,000 vehicle.
Yeah. Well, number one, I'm going to tell you, is a car that has been around since Adolf Hitler. And it's no longer being made. So now you have an idea, don't you?
Volkswagen Bug, maybe?
Well, roll the drum. Yeah, the Beetle.
The Beetle.
You know, everybody knew somebody that owned a Beetle at one time. Yeah. And it was the most recognizable car. Did you know that that car was made prior to the start of World War II? That car, and its shape and everything was very similar, even back then when they...
I remember those things were so loud back in the day.
They were.
And remember the VW wagon or whatever that was, the VW bus?
Oh, yes. Yeah, in fact, I had a friend that had
one.
There's
a guy that rides
around here. I went to New York
in
one time. Yeah, that was one of the first buses that people could buy, the VW bus.
Where you sat right on top of the engine and... You'd look out the windshield and look straight down.
You would look straight down. There was no nose.
No.
It was straight down. It was just like a bus. And that could be dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Beetle.
I don't know if it's true, but I saw a rumor they were going to bring back the Ford Pinto wagon.
Oh, God. I think that's a joke. The Pinto.
The Pinto wagon.
We owned a Pinto. We owned a Pinto years ago.
With the wood panels on the side.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, listen, everybody. Thanks so very much for being with us. We'll be back on Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Please, please stay safe. And always remember, freedom works.